Good afternoon, church. Today's reading is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 112. You can find this on page 509 of the Pew Bibles. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He is distributed freely. He is given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish.
Thank you very much for reading that for us, Clarence. Now, please do keep your Bibles open at Psalm 112, and do keep that handout in front of you. You should receive that on the way in. That should help you along over the next few minutes. Now, we are well and truly in the summer months now, and for lots of us, summer is an amazing time, isn't it? Holidays and travel, beautiful days with gorgeous weather, sunny afternoons in the park, long evening dinners with friends. We were in Devon last week and got a taste of that, and we had such a good time that towards the end of our trip, my son Chris, ice cream in hand, he turned to me and said, "Papa, Devon is heaven." And you know what? I could totally see where Chris was coming from, because in that moment, with the sun on our faces, walking by the sea, it did feel like, wow, this is the life. And in many ways, the summer months, they give us a glimpse, don't they? A glimpse into the life we wish we could have all year round. A life full of the things that we look forward to, things we long for, things which bring us happiness. Put another way, summer, in some ways, offers us a picture of the blessed life. Now, I mentioned all of this because today we're looking at Psalm 112. And in this psalm, the psalmist, he too wants to paint for us a picture of the blessed life. But not just of summer holidays or of fleeting moments of happiness. No, today the psalmist wants to show us a picture of the truly blessed life. And more importantly, he wants to show us how this life can be yours too. Now, the psalm we're looking at today is an interesting one because it doesn't really stand on its own. It's actually, I think, meant to be read together with the psalm that we looked at last week, Psalm 111. And I say this because, well, one, not only are these two psalms placed side by side to one another in the Bible, but I think there are other things which I think suggest that they are a pair. And so both psalms are acrostics, where each line begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet, from A to Z, if you will. Both psalms have the same number of verses and stanzas. Both psalms have similar phrases and themes. And they also start the same way, with the same big call, praise the Lord. And if you're here last week, you might remember how Psalm 111 ends. It finishes with this key idea in verse 10, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, when we arrive today in Psalm 112, the psalmist, he wants to explain what this means. He wants us to show how exactly does this look like when someone fears the Lord. And the big thing that he wants us to take away, to see, is right there in verse 1 of Psalm 112. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. That is the message of this psalm in a nutshell, that the fear of the Lord is the path to the blessed life. And so that's what we're going to be exploring together today. First, we're going to think about what this blessed life is, and then we'll go on to think about what it means to fear the Lord before we finish off with some closing thoughts on verse 10. And so let's start with this first idea. Blessed is the man. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Point 1a. Now, after calling on his readers to praise the Lord, in verse 1, the psalmist tells his readers, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Now, this word blessed, we often use it as a bit of a throwaway word, don't we? Bless you, or bless. You know, but in the Bible, the word blessed, it's not just a throwaway word. It's a word which carries enormous weight. The word for blessed can also be translated as happy. And so you could read verse 1 as, happy is the man who fears the Lord. But you know, even the word happy, it doesn't quite fully capture it. Because here, the psalmist, he is not just talking about a person experiencing a fleeting emotion. No, here, he's describing a person whose life is full and flourishing, stable and secure. A person living under the favor and care of God. That's what it means to be blessed. And so that's the kind of life which the psalm is holding out for us today. A flourishing life. A truly happy life. A life blessed by God. Now, what does this life look like? Well, as we read on, the psalmist shows us. In verse 2 and 3, the psalmist, he takes us on a tour of the blessed man's home. And there we see it's a home that is thriving. Children, grandchildren who are strong, influential, are mighty in the land. A household where nothing is lacking, where every need is met. There's no frantic striving, no anxious worry about tomorrow, because wealth and riches are in this blessed person's house. Verse 4, verse 7, verse 8, go on to describe the blessed man's inner life. And there we see a picture of stability, security, peace. Verse 4, even in darkness, light dawns for the blessed man. Verse 7, even when bad news comes, the blessed man does not crumble in fear. Now verse 8, his heart, it is steady. And finally, in verse 6 and verse 9, we hear about his reputation. Verse 9, there is honor and exaltation. Verse 6, a legacy that endures. They are remembered forever. That is the picture we are given of the blessed man, the blessed life, in Psalm 112. And if you just pause for a moment to take that picture in, a thriving home, every need met, a life free from anxiety and worry. Friends, isn't that the kind of life that you and I wish for? And the psalmist says, well, that is the kind of life that comes for the one who fears the Lord, the one who delights in his commandments. And when you think about it, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? The Lord, he is the one who made the world. He is the creator. He knows us. And he knows how life in his world works best. And if we are his creatures who live in his world, well, then it shouldn't surprise us that for the one who delights in the Creator's commands and who gladly follows the Maker's instructions, that on the whole, life just works better. It's a bit like this. I've got three kids, and like all young children, they're not always the best at working out how to use things the way that they're meant to be used. And so, for example, you know, a broom can suddenly turn into a sword, an iPad suddenly turns into a frisbee. And eventually, when things break or they don't work the way that you want them to, my children sometimes look at me and wonder, "Oh, Papa, what went wrong?" And then I have to explain, it's not a sword, it's a broom. And things only work properly when you use them the way that their maker designed them. And the same is true with life. Because when we live according to the maker's instructions, when we fear the Lord and delight in his commandments, life tends to work better. Not perfectly, but better. Blessing does follow for the one who fears the Lord and delights in his commandments. And so we do follow God's commands to, let's say, work diligently and honestly. Generally speaking, material provision, wealth even, naturally follows in verse 3. If we live with integrity and kindness like God calls us to, well, we can usually expect honor and respect in verse 9. And if we raise our children to fear the Lord, well, then more often than not, they too will walk in his ways and find blessing in verse 2. But friends, notice that I say, generally speaking, because we all know that this is sometimes not how life is like, even for the person who fears God. Sometimes, painfully, there are no children. Sometimes there are no riches. And sometimes there is no honor. And the psalmist, he is not naive about this. No, he knows that that is what life is like in a fallen world. And so he's not promising a perfect, pain-free life. Just look at our psalm, verse 4. The psalmist knows that even for those who fear God, there will still be days of darkness. Verse 7, bad news will come. Verse 8 and 10, there will still be enemies, opposition, threats. And the original readers, they knew this too. These are people who are returning from exile, weak, surrounded by enemies, far, far away from any kind of perfect life. And so let's be clear. This psalm isn't teaching that fearing God is somehow some kind of guaranteed formula for health, wealth, and prosperity. It's not a ticket to a fairy tale life. But what it is showing us is that even in a broken world, the truly good life isn't found by ignoring God. And it isn't found by living apart from him. No, rather, the good life, the blessed life, it is found by fearing the Lord and listening to him. But even more than just blessing here and now, I wonder if you noticed how this psalm, it points us to something far more precious to an enduring blessing that goes even beyond this life. I wonder if you noticed it as it was being read earlier. Because three times the psalmist lifts our eyes beyond the here and now. And speaking of the person who fears the Lord, look at verse 3 and verse 9. This is what he says. The psalmist says that their righteousness endures forever. Verse 6, they will be remembered forever. And so do you see? The blessing he speaks of isn't just for this life. No, Psalm 112 promises us that for those who fear the Lord, they can look forward to a life of blessing that will never fade. A life of blessing that endures forever with God in heaven. And it's this future, this everlasting blessing, that gives real hope. It brings light, even on the darkest days, in verse 4. It steadies our heart, even when bad news comes, in verse 7. In verse 8, this is hope, which holds us steady, even when life now feels anything but blessed. That is the blessing that Psalm 112 holds out. A life under God's favor now, and a future hope that can never be taken away. And the psalmist says that this life, this blessing, this hope, it is yours for the one who fears the Lord. Now, but this leaves us, I think, with an important question. Of what then does it mean to fear the Lord? What does it look like in practice? Well, let's think about that now. We're now in point 1b. Now, so far we've seen the blessing that's promised to those who fear the Lord. But as we read through Psalm 112, you might have noticed that there's another thread that runs all the way through this psalm. And that is this picture, this portrait of what it actually looks like to fear the Lord. And I think this is actually quite a helpful picture for us to have, because for many of us, I think, when we hear the word fear, we often think of being scared, anxious, trembling before someone who is cruel and unpredictable. But Martin Luther, the great reformer, helpfully said that there are actually two kinds of fear. And so on one hand, there is servile fear. This is the fear that a prisoner has for their torturer, or a slave's fear for a harsh and cruel master. It's a fear that is born of terror. But on the other hand, there's filial fear, the fear of a son who deeply loves his father, who doesn't want to offend him or bring him shame. It is a fear born of love and respect. And that is the kind of fear we see described here in Psalm 112. Because did you notice, verse 1? Fearing the Lord, it looks like delighting in his commandments. The blessed man doesn't see God's word as heavy and cruel demands from an unreasonable boss. No, he sees them as good words from a good God. Oh, look at verse 7. Fearing the Lord looks like trusting in him. So this is not the posture of a nervous servant anxiously watching his cruel master's every move. No, this is the posture of a child, resting safely, securely, in the arms of a loving father. And so do you see? When the Bible calls us to fear the Lord, it is not calling for us to shrink back in terror. It is calling for us to treat our God with reverence and awe, to see him as our loving Heavenly Father. That's what it means to fear the Lord. And this attitude of reverence and trust and love, it naturally overflows into a certain way of living. What does this look like? Well, again, look at me at Psalm 112. Verse 1, it looks like joyful obedience, knowing that our Father knows and wants what is best for us. Verse 4 and 5, it looks like showing grace, being merciful, living with integrity. And verse 9 and verse 5, it looks like generosity, a heart which cares about justice, that is concerned for the poor. And if you were here last week, I wonder, did you notice do any of these traits sound familiar to you? Because they should, because these are the very same traits used to describe the Lord God himself in Psalm 111. And I just love that because what I think we see here is that when we begin to see God rightly, when we revere him as our Heavenly Father, what naturally happens? Well, we begin to share his heart. We begin to reflect his character. We begin to take on his likeness. And I think that's important because I think what this shows us is that Psalm 112 is not calling us to just more moralism or more rule-keeping. No, this is a call to live like the God we love. And it's about sharing in the likeness of our Heavenly Father. And I think we all know a bit of what that looks like, don't we? Families often share a resemblance. And I know this is certainly true for my family. Back when we still had a landline, if you guys are old enough to know what a landline is, people would call our house, and nobody could tell me and my brothers apart because apparently we all sounded exactly the same. Not only that, a couple of years ago, my sister-in-law pointed out that me and my brothers apparently stand the same. So she even has this like goofy-looking photo of the three of us, me and my brothers, just kind of like standing around, striking the same pose, totally oblivious while we were waiting for something. And funnily, recently, Deb and I have noticed that even Emma, my three-year-old daughter, has somehow picked up on this pose and now stands the exact same way as well. And it's just one of those funny things, isn't it? That there's an unmistakable family likeness that shows us where you belong, who you belong to. And likewise here, the psalmist is calling us as God's people, his children, to fear, to revere, to love our Father in heaven, and to let that relationship shape us so that we begin to take on his character. We begin to, spiritually speaking, bear the family likeness. And friends, of course, the only reason we can do this is because of the Lord Jesus, the one who in so many ways perfectly embodies the man described in Psalm 112, Jesus who perfectly delighted in his Father's commands, Jesus who set his heart firmly on the cross, Jesus who trusted his Father to the very end, the Son of God who now brings us into that same father-child relationship? And so the question I think we're left with is, well, will you fear the Lord? But will you see him for who he truly is, our Heavenly Father, who loves us and cares for us, and who promises to bless all who fear him? Praise the Lord. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. My friends, as we close, there still is one more thing which Psalm 112 raises for us. Because while the main focus of the psalm is the blessed one who fears the Lord, in the very last verse, verse 10, the psalmist doesn't leave us without showing us the flip side. Because in verse 10, we see that there is, in fact, another way to live. Not the way of the righteous man, but the way of the wicked. The way of those who stand opposed to God and his people. Verse 10, the wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. And so in this last verse, the psalmist paints for us a different man. Not the blessed man who fears the Lord, but the wicked man. We caught a glimpse of him back in verse 8. The one who sets himself against the righteous as an adversary. The one who would love nothing more than to see the man who fears God crushed. Which is why in verse 10, when the wicked man sees the blessing and the honor the righteous man receives from the Lord, he is furious. He rages. He gnashes and grinds his teeth in frustration. But for all the rage and for all his hatred and for all his scheming, in the end, just as abruptly as he appears in the psalm, all of a sudden he is gone. He melts away, like ice cream melting in the hot summer sun. His desires come to nothing. He simply perishes. Friends, that is the stark reality that the psalmist sets before us. That for all who choose to set themselves against God and his people, it does not matter how much they scheme. It does not matter how much they persecute. It doesn't even matter how powerful they seem in the present. Verse Psalm 112 says, in the end, verse 8, they will be defeated. Verse 10, they will melt away. The desires of the wicked will perish. And friends, that is both a comfort and a warning, isn't it? A comfort because when we look at our world, sometimes it does feel like the wicked win. Maybe you felt the sting of injustice. Maybe you've seen people mock the things of God, trample on the people of God, and maybe even prosper while doing it. And friends, Psalm 112 reminds us that their rage is futile. Their power is temporary. And one day, God will set things right, and the righteous will look in triumph over their adversaries. And yet, what is comfort for the righteous, it is also a sober warning for those who stand opposed to God. And so friends, if you are here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, can I gently urge you to hear these words, not just as a warning, but as an invitation. Because there really are only two paths, two ways to live. One path leads to frustration and futility, but the other is the path of fearing the Lord, trusting in Jesus, Jesus who willingly died for you so that you could call God your Father in heaven. And friends, if you trust in him, Psalm 112 promises that you will find in him, you will find in him the blessed life. The blessed life that lasts forever. Shall we pray?
Let's pray. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Dear God, thank you that we can call you Father, that we can trust securely in you and delight in your commandments because we know you. Thank you that you gave us your Son to give us this relationship with you, and grow us to be more like you, our Father. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we lose our sense of awe, respect, and fear for you, when we fear others or other things in this world more than you. Please, through your Holy Spirit, grow our understanding and love for you, that we might fear you rightfully before all things, praising you all the days of our life. Help us not to fear those who stand against us, but keep fearing you, growing more like you each day. Lord, we turn now to pray for the summer camps going on across the UK. Thank you that we have the religious freedom in this country to run these camps. Thank you for the conviction of those who work so hard to organize and to run these camps, that sharing your word to children is worth their sacrifice of time, money, and energy. We pray, Lord, that you would sustain all those involved in the camps. Please give them energy and good rest, and feed them spiritually as they prepare. Please give them the love and wisdom to navigate any difficult issues that might arise at camp. We also pray that the children would have soft hearts and be moved by your word. Where some camps have previously been tainted by safeguarding issues, we pray that you would keep the staff and volunteers safe from the evil one's intentions. We also pray for the logistics of these camps, that everything would run smoothly and that you would grant them safety during the camps. Next, we pray for the upcoming welcome season for students. Thank you for the great opportunity, Lord, that we have at Euston to reach the nations. And thank you for the encouraging signs that the incoming generation is more interested and open to religion. Please would you bring many curious students to church, that they may come to know the joy of the gospel. Please help the student team as they prepare for a busy season ahead. Help them to keep their eyes fixed on you and help them not to be overwhelmed by the task, Lord. And Lord, we also pray for many volunteers from our congregation to help welcome the students or support events in various ways. Lastly, we pray for those suffering around the world due to violence from wars or conflict in Gaza, Ukraine, and more recently Thailand and Cambodia. Please, Lord, would you open paths for organizations to deliver the aid that they need and for politicians to negotiate for peace. We mourn the brokenness of the world so evident in these wars and pray that you would come, Lord Jesus, and reign in justice. We pray for a peaceful conclusion to these wars, if that's your will. And please, would you keep helping Christians in these areas? Keep trusting in you for strength and deliverance from this suffering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.